please spare me. Third versus fourth grand final week. Have you spoken to anyone who thinks this is a good idea?
To me, this will be the first World Cup we go into not knowing who's going to win. I think for the Roosters, this is a lot more than just two competition points. This is just a stamp, a little bit of authority on the Panthers.
Well, Steve, we've had a massive uptick in the comments on YouTube, and we're going to start a new thing today, and we're going to start reading some of those comments out so that the people can be heard. What else have we got today, mate?
Mate, we talk about Volandis' idea of three versus four. We give our ideas and some other options, and we start to talk about a few World Cup topics. We'll have a World Cup in the back end of October.
Looking forward to that, and we'll, of course, we'll make sure we talk about our predictions and maybe some of the ones we didn't get quite right last week, but can't get them all. All right, let's dive into it. Yeah, so we've in recent weeks we've certainly seen an increase, and actually probably off the bat we're approaching 500 subscribers on YouTube. We need your help out there, people. We need you to click the subscribe button on YouTube in particular, or whichever platform you're on, but just specifically YouTube. If you're on Apple or Spotify, jump on over there, give us a follow so we can hit that 500 mark. That'd be superb. So yeah, we've had an influx. The Warriors fans in particular, they love it. Now, there's one in particular comment that was massive, mate. You want to read that one out now?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool, mate. So, at Bonnie Seymour, so appreciate the comment there. Mentions here, boys, put this in perspective. They played the Warriors outcome on the news before the All Blacks in the sports segment. They've said here that it's never happened before. The NRL has a real opportunity to try and push to be the main sport in New Zealand. Bonnie Seymour says that they've been a Warriors and NRL fan for 35 years. So, look, shout out, really appreciate the comment first off, but that just goes to show you, obviously, you know, I'm not over there, so I can't comment on how well the NRL's doing compared to Union, but for that to happen on the news, it's just a huge thing. We know, you know, being this side of the ditch, how big the All Blacks are and how big rugby union is in New Zealand. So for the rugby league game to be gaining so much attention and traction over there is huge. And to your point, mate, the Warriors fans have been huge with us and supporting us as we've started this show. So good news for them and something that's pretty exciting for the future.
100%. I can remember us talking about this last year, like just that pride that we felt as, you know, the little NRL taking our game to Vegas and now with the talk of global round, like it's exciting. And then, so I can appreciate the excitement from Bonnie there around being an NRL fan in a rugby union dominant country for 35 years and now seeing league really rise to the top. That must be exciting. And it goes into what we talked about getting the Orcas there as the team in the South Island. I actually had a comment on one of the Facebook reels from a guy saying that going back 20 years, I think he said about 20 years, but going back in through the history of the Warriors, most of the players used to come from the South Island. And I didn't know the league was that big over there. I thought it was pretty much Auckland. But obviously, there's a real following there. So we can tap into that. That's really exciting. So, appreciate the comment, Bonnie. We've also got Totoli Vale, 1767. I think he was referencing the title, which was Warriors sent a message, and he said 120%. Someone else suggesting Nat K, Penrith are out this year. Always had good depth, but this is probably a bridge too far. You might actually be right. This is where their depth's been stretched. So, appreciate that, the comment there too. Another up the wires, Adam Sweet, thank you. Shortcut 8236. Dragons of the Wires a massive favour by giving them a bit of breathing space on the ladder. Yeah, absolutely. I think the Wires forward pack allowed Metcalf to play his game. They were just ruthless on attack up the middle and on defence. Agree with the Wire centres, Pompey and Leotau coming over. Grant. Agreeing with us what we said about perhaps needing better defence in the centres. Got Grant Anderson coming in 2027. Yeah, good point. Yeah, this Warriors fan. Yeah, jumped out of my chair when ex-Warrior Setu 2 raced in the winning try to snare the two comps for the Sharkies. I love it.
It sounds like the Dragons game against the Sharks might have been very well supported by the Warriors fans. It's good that the boys could get the win for us Dragons fans, but obviously huge ramifications on the ladder that the Sharkies missed out on 2 points there.
Yeah, yeah. Jose XCI, good on you tipping the Warriors. I was going to tip the Dragons over the Sharks, but I'm a coward. Oh, that's a little harsh, mate. And a new subscriber, thank you very much, mate. We appreciate it. Looking forward to more NRL chat up the Waz. Yeah, we're big fans of the Waz, even though we did cop a bit of grief from some of the Waz fans recently. We won't go into that again. Jack O'Hare, huge dominant win for Warriors. For our Warriors, our best since prelim final over Storm in Melbourne 2011. That is a big call. That was a great victory. I think it was eighth versus first, wasn't it, that one?
Yeah, well, I think it was the first time it had ever happened. That was huge down there at Melbourne.
Yeah, might have even been the old Olympic Park, actually, going back that far. Mm. Just testing my memory there. I think it was, what's his name? The halfback, Witt, diving over in the corner.
Mm. Yeah, that was a massive ball over there. The Warriors come in to that as always, given the Storm a little bit of curry, and got them on the big occasion. Yeah. That bumbled a couple of teams out. May even have been St. George. We're really testing my memory there. But that was the old days where the lowest two losers got kicked out. It was a weird format, that, and I'm pretty sure it might have been St. George, maybe. But yeah, certainly it was a boil over that year. I remember it clearly.
Yeah, yeah. You have to give us the details, Jacko. Yeah, I remember because it was a Sunday afternoon and the other three games had been played. So one team thinking they're getting ready for a semi-final and all of a sudden they're on Mad Monday. Yeah, massive. He agrees and says many don't, that Metcalf needs to stay in the team while Tamari Martin stays on the bench to cover multiple positions. Maybe, just maybe, it is our year after years of agony, heartache and false dawns. My Warriors PTSD is still alive and well up to us. I love it. Oh, yes. I think most league fans have got a heap of PTSD. I know how I have from many a prelim final loss from the clutching defeat from the jaws of victory 1998 comes to mind, but we won't go into that detail. But we appreciate all of those comments, and we really need to start making sure we get on top of that. Oh, I can't go past this one because there was a special comment here. Don't tell the missus, but Lisa Williams. Hi guys, love your analysis on the footy. Just interested to know what Steve's background is. Always dons a North Devs shirt. I'm a mad Brisbane South Magpies supporter. Thanks for dropping a comment, Lisa. Well, Steve, what's your affiliation? You've got a bit of an affiliation there with the Devs. Tell us more.
Yeah, affiliation through work. I'm a Sydney boy, born and bred in the Bankstown area, but moved up to Queensland probably 22, 23 years ago now. So moved up and fell in love with the Devs. I've been lucky enough through work to be on the inside a little bit, just as a sponsor, and be included in on a few things, and just one hell of a club. Utter professionalism. The culture is a very overused word term in rugby league, but they are amazing. The Norse Devs. We have Jacob Gagan deliver his power rankings. He's not far off chalking up his 100th game for the Devs, and won 3 premierships, 3 Q cups there with the Devils. So yeah, they're very close to my heart. The Dragons are still number one, but the Devs are bloody close. Don't worry about that. So appreciate the comment. I'll always support the Devs.
Yeah, love it. And one of the big dogs commented, rugby league history. This is obviously a week ago. Melbourne can still play finals, unfortunately. Another hater, I love it. But they have to rely on other results. Yeah, well, I think they're done now, but appreciate that too, rugby league history. So there you go. We'll make sure that if you comment, we'll get to you. So keep the comments coming. We really appreciate it, and really appreciate the follows and the subscriptions. It's awesome. Just really quickly looking at some of the data around chances of making the eight. There's, according to our good friend Chat, the top six are all but, they're saying 100% locked in for finals. And then they're given the Bunnies 81% chance, Cowboys 66, and the Doggies 41. Well, three into two don't go, so one of those teams is going to miss out. You called it. You thought the Dogs would miss out. Nothing's changed since the weekend gone.
I don't think so, mate. This game, obviously, on the weekend that we'll talk about later in the show, clearly has the biggest impact on the finals, is the South Bulldogs game. The loser of this, especially if he's Canterbury, is going to be up against it. It's going to need 13 wins. The Bulldogs have got four games ahead of them. So if they drop this against South, they're going to need to beat the Dragons, Panthers, Broncos. Now, the diehard Bulldogs fans all think that there's still a chance to do that, and they might well be, but it's going to be an uphill battle. So this one's vital for them. And we've spoken about the Cows all year. They've got a bye up their sleeve, which will certainly help them with their travel. But they've got Parramatta, the Tigers and Raiders in the last round. So they've got a very easy draw. So you think they've only got to get one more win. You've got to think they're going to be all but, like, they're obviously strong favourites this weekend against Parramatta. Yeah. So, yeah, for me, this weekend against South and Bulldogs are absolutely everything. And you'll see a huge shift in the stats on the probability on the back of that result, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. The Cowboys have got a pretty bad record against Para at Para the last few years, and I've gone there many times expecting to get trounced, only for Cowboys to not show up. So let's hope that trend continues. But, yeah, you're right, the draw, including having the bye in there, you think, and the Raiders have talked about playing some of the young guys depending on availability and not wanting to upset their New South Wales Cup team if they're a chance. So, yeah, they could just cruise it in there. Mate, I think that Dogs draw does allow the opportunity for them to make it. Absolutely. Particularly if they get the job done this week.
Yeah. It's certainly wide open, mate. This game this week, they're playing well enough, right? They obviously didn't get the win last week, which, you know, not stumped them, but they were on a little bit of a roll. They'd been playing some good footy. But they come up against a Roosters side that is, you know, rightfully so, equal leader and could be outright leader on the back of this weekend's game. So you can't be kicking stones if you're a Bulldogs fan that they come so close. Probably the big concern was the way that they gave up that lead that they had against the Roosters. But they're into up to their eyeballs. And, you know, let's be honest, South have had a hot and cold season. That's the reason that they're 11-9. So there's no doubt the Bulldogs have still got a red-hot chance. And if they do, in fact, win the game against South on the weekend, then, you know, the penny will start to drop with a few of them that there's only two of us left and every game's a winner now. So, yeah, really interesting times. I can't see anyone else. You know, Fox Lab has the Seagulls at 14% chance still to make it. They've got to run the gauntlet and win every single game. And the form they're in, they haven't won a game for God knows how long. I just can't see. Yeah, I can't see that happening, mate. So I think we're down to nine and it'll be interesting to see who grabs those last two spots.
I think the for and against might be what goes against the Doggies in the end. But in saying that, like you said, the Bunnies have been hot and cold, and with the Warriors and the Roosters still to play in a tricky away game at the Titans, this Friday night looming large. Okay, the most ridiculous idea. Now, PVL's era has been pretty impressive. We've seen an improvement in how the game's played, except if we eliminate just the first maybe couple of months of this season. Big TV deals, lots of good things happening, but please spare me. Third versus fourth, grand final week. Have you spoken to anyone who thinks this is a good idea?
Mate, I've spoken to a lot of people about this. Rusted on fans all the way to the casual, just turn up for State of Origin time. And no one in their right mind has had anything positive to say about this. I just don't understand it, mate. It just makes no sense. You know, by the time these players get to the end of the season, they're battered and bruised. Can you imagine missing out in the grand final and then being told you're to turn up next week to play third versus fourth? It just makes no sense from the game's perspective either. I know Volandis is throwing around bags of cash. It would need to be monster bags of cash. Because I just don't see the benefit of it. I completely understand that there is a lot of free air during the grand final week. You know, we go from 8 games a week down to that one very quickly. And even the back end of the semifinals where you're only getting 2 games, you know, there is a little bit of free air, great, but there's plenty of other ideas that we could roll out content for. This third v fourth, I genuinely hope it doesn't come out because I feel like it could make a mockery and they could be out there just like an all-star game in the old days. Certainly not the way the all-star game is now with the Maoris and the Indigenous team, but the way the all-star game was played in the old days, it just turned into a Mickey Mouse game, and I genuinely would hate to see rugby league like that, mate.
Mate, ridiculous. And like, they might throw a lot of cash at them, but where are they going to make the cash back? Because I'm not watching. Who's going to watch it?
Yeah.
The only thing I could think of is I was working at a school recently, and one of the young fellas had stumbled across my podcast, and he said, oh, I saw what you said about, you know, the more tries. And he goes, I think for the younger fans like us, we actually love more tries, and it gets more eyeballs. I'm like, interesting take from a 14-year-old. But having been watching football World Cups, like massive, right, international games, I can't remember if I've ever watched a third versus fourth playoff. Just no interest. The games end up like the most recent one, it was 6-4 or something, and it was just like the all-star game. Defense was out the window. Who's going to go to it? Like, you're absolutely gutted because you've just been bundled out as a fan. Let's forget the players for a second. Why would you want to go to a third, fourth game? Why would you even want to watch it? I can't comprehend it. And like you said, there's so many better ideas. But isn't that the whole point? We're coming to the climax of the season. Of course, we want to reduce the number of games. We want to talk more about the specific games that we have. It's an opportunity to introduce more content that's celebrating the game. Do we even need to have games? I know you've got a great idea, which I quite liked, which would generate some excitement. But then aren't we then taking away from... Like, then everyone starts talking about a game when it's grand final week, when we shouldn't be talking about anything else but the grand final.
Yeah, you're 100% right, mate. Rugby league's one of those, because of how hard it is to play, it's one of those games that don't have friendlies. You know, there's a lot of other sports around the world. Obviously, we've got our pre-season trials, but it's getting more and more regular that the stars and the top players don't even play in them anymore. So a lot of the other sports like the basketballs and the baseballs and the soccers, they've got a lot of friendlies and a lot of all-star games that, let's be honest, don't mean a hell of a lot. Where rugby league, every time you go out in the field, it's for something. It means something. The fans know that it means something. And to me, to have a third v four, it just doesn't make sense to me. It really doesn't make sense. So I genuinely hope that he puts a pin in this and we never hear about it again.
Yeah, mate, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in rugby league creativity. Anyway, like you said, hopefully that is all we hear about it. Now, it's been mentioned briefly at different times, but it's particularly important now given how many injuries Australia's got. Never has the World Cup been more competitive. Now, with these Pacific Nations teams now, New Zealand in particular, have just built such a strong squad. They've got some injury concerns as well. But there's some vulnerability for Australia. Like, what do you think, mate? Like, do we still go in as favourites at this point?
Look, you're going to have to see the final squad makeups with injuries and then a final availabilities. There's a number of players who, like Payne Haas as an example, who have changed allegiance in the last 12 months and will play for different countries than they have in the past. So we're going to need to really see that. But for me on the surface right now, no. For the first time in my life, I can't see Australia going into the World Cup being favourites. Obviously, Isaiah Yeo would have been there and more than likely captain. If he doesn't come back from injury, that's another loss and another loss in the forwards. But if you think all of the forwards that Australia has lost and will continue to lose with some of the players going back to their second tier countries, so they're still able to play Origin but go back to second tier countries in the World Cup. It's just going to change the whole complexity of the World Cup. To me, this will be the first World Cup we go into not knowing who's going to win. You know, traditionally over the last 3 or 4 decades, everyone's been playing to see who will play Australia in the final. For this time around, I could see a World Cup where Australia don't make the final. That's how some of these, you know, the Samoas and Tongas, the Kiwis, they've all got red hot sides. And if they can be fully fit going in, look out. You know, the knock's always been that they've all got the big forwards, the big strong backs, but they've had trouble in the creative positions. But you look at, you know, the Dolphins as an example, Jeremy Marshall King, Isaiah Katoa, and Cody Nikorima, they're all going to go to play for their home nations and have absolute massive impacts on this World Cup from that creative position role. And the list goes on, right? There's a number of players that are going to play for Tonga and Samoa in those creative positions. And when they're playing behind the packs of forwards and the outside backs that they're going to have, I don't know whether Australia is going to be able to match it with them, mate. I truly don't.
The good part is that at the moment, in the main, our spine from last year's series is intact. Although Edwards, when he was on the periphery, it was Reece Walsh. Reece Walsh certainly hasn't been in the same form, but you think in an environment like that, he would still thrive. Munster, Cleary, both fit. Harry Grant will be fit. To me, for the Australian team, it gives an opportunity for, like we've always talked about the depth, but it gives an opportunity for some of these guys. Like Max Plath steps up.
Yep.
We get Cam Murray gets the start in the 13. We got guys like Best and Bostock. I tried to flick through the Queensland team. A lot of their back line's actually allegiance to Pacific Nations teams. And then in the forwards, just going to have to be some young blokes or maybe some guys who have been there or thereabouts. Guys like Mitch Barnett will come right into contention, of course. And then maybe there's some guys there who are just looking for that opportunity, young guys who have been having a crack. I mean, you look at what they've done at Newcastle this year with a bunch of young forwards who have really stepped up to the mark. I mean, let's see. Maybe there are some guys there that haven't been given the opportunity because of the massive amount of depth. And we all know that in sport, that sometimes when a player is just given that opportunity to step up to the next level, they go to the next level. Not everyone does, but I imagine there's a bunch of them there that, it'd be exciting to see some fresh talent in that Australian team.
Mate, you've absolutely hit the nail on the head. If they can keep that spine together, obviously the fullback, Walsh, Edwards, Tedesco, that's going to be a fairly hotly contested position. Mm. But they keep the rest of the spine together. I think then they have to go with some fresh blood and really inject some energy and youth and enthusiasm into the side. We copped a lot of shit on social media. One comment we didn't read out was around Hamish Stewart. And while I'm not saying Hamish Stewart should be in the side, I think he's still got some development to go. Those sort of players need to start coming into contention. You know, the Ethan Stranges, and while obviously Munster will get first dip at six if he's fit, the Ethan Stranges of the world, even, you know, you can see if the Knights go on a run, you know, someone like a Fletcher Sharp who can play multiple positions, at least being in the squad, I think they really need to have a think about the way they've been selecting sides. Laurie Daly did it towards the back end of Origin series, right? He really realised, and I heard him get interviewed only a week or so ago, around, shit, these younger guys, when they take their opportunity, they're ready to go, right? This is a different generation now. They get to 22, 23, they've got all the confidence in the world, they've got memories like goldfishes, and they just go out there and do it. So I think you're right, mate. If they can keep that spine together and put some young, enthusiastic players in there and give them the first taste of green and gold, that's going to be their best hope. But, mate, first time ever, I can see this being a really big shootout. And those final four teams who you think are going to be the final four, it's going to be one hell of a competition. This isn't going to be a Mickey Mouse tournament that we're just putting on for the sake of it. There'll be some bloody good football come November, December, mate.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you talked about the youngsters just coming in and full of confidence. You've only got to look at Robert Toyer's Origin series last year as a kid, having only played a handful of first-grade games, and then Jojo Fifita again this year. And if we think back to the discussion we had around the potential New Zealand Origin game, the North versus the South, and the quality of those two lineups, that they are going to have an unbelievable team. And they are going to be hard to beat. And that's without even going into the Pacific Nations. Like you said, Payne Haas has pledged his allegiance to Samoa, Aidan Fleur-Blake. That's that. Yeah, Who else is in that?
I believe Hemmer has as well. I haven't got that confirmed.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You could imagine Hemmer at fullback with a pack of forwards like that. Yeah, so some really interesting footy. So obviously we'll talk more about the World Cup as it plays out, and I'm sure all the nations will start having, you know, those train-on squads once the semi-finals start. So we'll start to sink our teeth into some of them. But, yeah, some exciting football, mate, and something that won't be a foregone conclusion in the international space.
Absolutely. This is just a predicted squad that I found on NRL.com for the Kiwis. Ponga, Asako, McLean, Fifita, Mulatalo, Nikarima, Hughes, Fisher-Harris, Marshall King, Leota, Nicara, Papalihi, Aaron Clark. That's not a bad starting 13. And then the bench, Crossland, Tarpany, Nafahu White can't even make the starting side, Jordan Rickey, Tamari Martin, and Matt Tomiko. Mate, that's some side. And that's without, who are we missing there, Dylan Brown. Had another big name go down recently too, which I can't think of.
See, they're certainly not going to be a pushover, mate. They're going to be one hell of a side. And I guarantee if you read the Tongan Samoan sides, they're going to be something similar. So
actually they're talking about the players that will miss out. Xavier Willison, Leo Thompson, like he was like first pick last year. Tanner Stowers-Smith has been amazing for the Warriors this year. Jack Williams is a Kiwi? They can't be right. Trey Mooney, Griffin Neame. So there's some serious talent there. They might be a bit shorter in the outside backs, perhaps. But that. Oh, yeah. No, hang on. We got Kanu Keeney, Justin Glockster. Like, seriously.
One hell of a team. Yeah. Mate, hot off the press, we've just got a news release has come through that may disappoint some Warriors fans. So we've just been told Jack Cleary has requested a shock release from the Warriors, citing personal reasons. And we're led to believe he's told the Warriors he wants to return to Penrith for the 2027 season.
Interesting. So
that is massive, massive news for the Warriors and the Panthers. So we'll know, you brought it up a couple of weeks ago, Jack Cole is heading to the Perth Bears at the end of the season. And obviously Blaise Talangi and Jack Cogger have sort of jinked and jive. Is this a way that Penrith are going to keep Nathan Cleary at the foot of the mountain, sign his brother and keep Cleary in a package deal together?
Or is Nathan heading off to the Chiefs and they just replace one Cleary for the next production line?
That is a monster story. So we'll certainly follow that through for Monday's episode. But that is a monster story for Warriors and Panthers fans.
Yeah, and isn't that amazing? Given he's played no first grade, but it's the ramifications of what it potentially could mean for Nathan, for Ivan. Yeah, because I've been thinking about this a lot in the last 24 hours. Does the fact that Ivan is leaving at the end of 2027, is it because he knows Nathan's moving on? Is it because he's done? Like, there's so many different thoughts, and you could spin it as they do on mainstream. They just make up stories. But, yeah, it is fascinating. But that is huge. Huge. Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Should we go back over what we said last week, mate, or you just want to move on?
Well, some of it, mate. I'm embarrassed and have been kicked out of the St. George fan club for saying that Cronulla were a lock to beat my beloved Drags. But I just thought Cronulla were on that much of a roll. I had to pick them for the lock of the week. I had to put my heart aside. But, yeah, we spoke about that at the last episode. So if you didn't hear it, go back and have a listen. But I certainly got that one wrong. But the other games, we were smack bang on the mark, mate. I certainly thought the Warriors Panthers would be game of the round, and we picked the Warriors. And that didn't disappoint from a game perspective as well as the result. That was definitely the game of the round, mate.
Yeah, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah,
let's hope again. Thursday night, Panthers Roosters. If we can get anything like we saw last week with the big game, this will be enormous. I think given that Panthers are without Yo, it's going to be a massive test of them to see which way they go, how they play. I noticed a comment from one of our big fans, Lyle, saying that the more that Nathan Cleary can get his hands on the ball, the more dangerous Penrith will become. Well, I tend to agree. It's still going to be a bit of a shock to the system. But on the other side, really, it applies a bit of pressure to the Roosters because they've been in form. They probably could have been better against than they were against the Dogs last week, but maybe they had an eye on this game. But playing against a weakened team, which, let's be honest, the Panthers are without Edwards, Yeo, and Kenny, they really want to win this and probably win it convincingly to really show the rest of the competition where they're at.
Yeah, you're right, mate. So Edwards has been named in the 20 jersey, so it'll be interesting to see if he does come into the side. We should know that within the next hour or two as we're recording this, whether he comes into the side. But you smack bang on, mate. We spoke about Lindsay Smith probably being named at lock on the Monday show, and that's in fact what's happened. So I just genuinely hope for Lindsay Smith's sake and the Panthers' sake, they don't ask him to do what Yo was doing. He can certainly play that link man and he has those ball skills, but for him to take that full role would be a huge task, to put on a young fella like that. So to Lyle's point, your point, mate, this is Cleary's show 110%. Now, even if Edwards does come back in the fullback slot, everything's going to revolve around him. You mentioned a good one with the Roosters, mate. They've won 7 in a row, obviously 4 to go leading into the semis and then the semifinals. So it would be a monumental effort for them to go through the whole season from here, from 7 wins plus, you know, the other 7 or 8 games we've got undefeated. So I can see them dropping a game coming in, but they won't want it to be this one. Not only to make sure that they lock into the top two, but just mentally, if you're the Panthers, after the season that they've had, since Origin, it hasn't been tremendous. They've had their games here or there, but if they lose to the Warriors and the Roosters 2 weeks in a row, Yo's out injured, I don't care how strong they are mentally, that just needs to start playing on them a little bit. So I think for the Roosters, this is a lot more than just 2 competition points. This is just a stamp, a little bit of authority on the Panthers, because there's no doubt these teams will come up against each other sometime throughout September.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wonder if you could just look it up there in the background, mate, while I'm chatting, whether the last time they actually beat the Panthers, because we know that they had that record for a long time. They hadn't beat the Panthers or the Roosters, or they had a really poor record against both teams. They managed to break that hoodoo against the Storm this year. But it is come to that point where they really need to stand up and assert their dominance. The other game that's rivaling match of the round, the only reason it hasn't got it is because of that top of the table clash. The Dogs and the Bunnies. The only concern here is you just don't know what you're going to get with the Bunnies, and they've had their problems with injuries, and it's no different this week. Even though Campbell Graham now returns, they've lost Ashton Ward. I read with interest today that there was a few people mentioning that Jaden Sullivan hasn't exactly set the world on fire, and Cody always plays much better when he's got a really organising halfback playing inside him. So that may be a challenge. You can't deny the form that Walker's been in, though. So this could be a cracker. And as we talked about before, huge ramifications for the makeup of the final eight.
Yeah, spot on, mate. This in and out for the Rabbitohs is read like this every week for the whole season. They've had 4 or 5 injured, 4 or 5 coming back in throughout the whole year. It has just been an up and down merry-go-round. You know, poor old Talis Duncan's played in the centres. He's played on an edge. They've moved left and right for a number of players. So it must be very challenging for them. But they keep on finding a way, you know, to get there. I 100% agree. Jaden Sullivan is very much similar to Cody Walker. He's a bit more of a run-first creative sort of player than he is a structured 7. Losing the halves like they have over the year hasn't helped them, mate. They need someone just to guide them around the park, not be too dominant, just get them into the right sections and then let Cody deal with what he needs to on that left side of the park. Jaden Sullivan, while he's certainly a first grader, it's going to be a dent to have him out. The flip side of that, mate, is Statili Tupanua out for the Bulldogs. So the poor fella had been out 4 or 5 weeks, come back with a hamstring and did it almost straight away again. So that's a huge loss. You've seen the increase that Kikau and Preston have made on the edges for the Bulldogs. And to see Tupanua come back as well, they were just starting to get on that little bit of a roll around, okay, we've got our full pack back just mentally. So he's going to be a big loss, even though they hadn't had him for a while. He's going to be a big loss. You know, we spoke last week about the back rowers from the Roosters and the Bulldogs, and whoever dominated was going to win the game. Well, both Fekete and C.R. Wong scored tries for the Roosters and they ended up getting the win. For me, this is equally as big a section of the park this weekend. The Bulldogs back rowers are going to come up against Fifita, Elliott, and then obviously with help from Kalamatangi and Murray there, that's going to be a really important part. You know, for me, Elliott's more of a middle forward, but the injuries have dictated he's got to be out there on the field somewhere. So Preston Kikau coming up against Elliott and Fifita, I think, is going to have a huge impact on this game. And I give the edge this week to the Bulldogs, mate. I think the Bulldogs will do them. And I think that could throw a bit of a spanner in the works for the top eight for the Rabbitohs.
Yeah, absolutely. Kaloa Matangi was grabbing at his knee. He did a PCL earlier in the year. So he got through a massive chunk of minutes, but he wasn't probably as effective. I'll tell you who really did stand up. David Fifita had probably the most amount of hit-ups I've ever seen him take. He wasn't that massive tackle-busting best that we've seen where he just grabs the ball and swats people away. But his work rates increased, which is what what people want to see for him. I just wonder whether it takes away some of that ad-lib stuff, but he can't have everything, right? And people got to be careful what they wish for.
Certainly, if I was Bennett, I'd have Kalama Tangi, put him in cotton ball for the year, mate. They're done. Save him for next year and let him work his magic for the Dragons, mate.
Yeah, massive chance of that happening.
They're going to run that poor fella into the ground, unfortunately. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Well, they've got a ready-made replacement in the greatest front row of all time to come replace him, so they don't care at all. Yeah. It is interesting that it's gone quiet on Lockie Galvin. I've even noticed people coming out and saying, well, you know, he's actually had a really good year and he's shown maturity and mental strength given it all. So it's funny how the narrative changes. Now that he's not having to run the show, which is what everyone's been saying, we've been saying it all year, he actually has played really well. And what I love about him is he just takes tough carries. Like at times he does play like a back rower when he just sees an opportunity to hit a hole and do a bit of donkey work, make 20 metres, he just takes it. And his creativity is going to improve. His ability to run a show is going to improve. But if they go well here, he's going to have a big game. And I think, massive credit to the young fella because he's certainly copped it from all angles. But I don't know if you saw him on Matty Johns on Sunday night. He's certainly a mature young man and handled himself in that setting as well.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's always been a bumpy road for him from when he first came in as a rookie with the Tigers. Obviously, there was a fair bit of press about him. And then what happened over the Gus Gould and movement over the Bulldogs was, regardless of how he was involved, he's 19-year-old bloke. I don't think he got a lot of advice that was in the right direction for him. So it's good the media settled down on him. It's good that for his sake, the performances have been coming and things are starting to look up for him. So hopefully they just let him go and do his thing, mate, and go and play some footy.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, lock of the week. We saw the run the Titans went on, and they've hit a bit of a hole. And you're tipping this to continue, Steve.
Yeah, mate. I think the Knights. I've grossly underestimated the Knights for huge chunks of the season. But when you look at the fact that even through the injuries, you know, they're 13-8, and three of those games were goal kicking problems. They've been absolutely standouts for me for this season. The back line, even without Brown, is really impressive. Ponga, Young, Gagai, Best, Mazu, Sharp, and Smith. Like, you know, that's got speed to burn. They're big humans and a lot of class. Really important this week they get Phoenix Crossland back. Obviously, Bradman Best will return as well, but Phoenix Crossland, for me, just adds that little bit extra in the forward pack. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing the Knights at home. You know, the crowd at the moment, or the crowd at Newcastle at Marathon, there's always huge. They're very vocal. They're one of the best fan bases in the NRL. So now that the team's winning and they're a lock for the eight, I think they'll turn up in absolute droves, mate, and get it done on the weekend against the Titans.
Yep, absolutely. KP's 150th game for Newcastle as well is going to be a big one for them, and you think they're going to have too much class. I think the Titans have done a great job of punching above their weight at different times. They've gone pretty big on youth, and sometimes when you've got a young squad in any sport, the thing that can be the most difficult is continue to back up week in, week out. Finding that with my young football team at the moment, as they've went on a huge run of victories, but they've hit a bit of a wall, and that's just how it is. And I think that's what the Titans have been facing recently as well. Now, I'm with you on the inability to find an upset for this week, and we'd just be guessing for the sake of having one, and there's no point doing that. So we'll leave that one. But I think the rest of them, it'd be good. It's not an upset of sorts, but it would be good to see the Dragons get another win and against the poor old Tigers.
That would be, mate. Yeah, obviously the Dragons fans, they're pretty well each way on the betting, mate. So I couldn't call either of them winning an upset. I can certainly see the Roosters getting a win against the Panthers, but I wouldn't want to have my money on that either way, just with the unknown of Yo. So, yeah, for me, if you're looking for an upset this week, you're braver than I am, mate.
Mm. Yep. The interestingly, you know, we talked about the Tigers for the last 2 years and all the drama, and I heard Paul Kent talking about it last week about, you know, lots of things going on in the background, which he said he won't talk about, but there's still plenty to play out there. But interestingly, he said that bit going on at Parra behind the scenes too. Yeah, so I don't know what he's alluding to there, but you know, I've heard a few whispers here and there of not all being as it should be. So it is interesting that Jason Rolls knocked back the Dragons because he was concerned about what was going on maybe from a front office perspective, and he's walked into Parra. And if that turns out to be true, and usually when there's smoke, there's fire, and if a team's not performing when there was expectations that they would improve this year, then that's where the good judges turn, is that the back office. So if there is something going on there, it's interesting that perhaps, yeah, you might have made the wrong choice there. But that's life.
That is, mate. There's no doubt having the strong front office is absolute foundation. Number one, you know, you've seen the clubs over the last few years that have dominated, and then on the flip side, you've seen the clubs that have struggled down the bottom, and it all comes from the front office. If they can't get strong, good administrators in there with good systems in place, it's just an uphill battle, mate. So I'm sure the press, being the way it is, will get to the bottom of the Parramatta infighting, if that's what we're going to call it, and we'll hear about it soon.
If that is exactly what's happening, yes, I imagine we will. But who knows? It's not what you want to hear about your team as you're heading into the last few rounds, that's for sure.
No.
Again, thank you to all of those people that have already subscribed. Thank you for all the comments. We love to hear from listeners. You can message us directly as well, and we'll make sure if you comment, we will get your comments here on the show. That is on the YouTube channel. We're not going to go through every social media comment because there's plenty, and some of them aren't really fit for broadcast.
I do think some of the ones you read out were a little bit cleaner than some of the others, mate.
We've got a heap of people watching there as well. This week in particular, we've had nearly 20,000 views on the socials. So, yeah, thank you for everyone who is watching, listening, and commenting. We appreciate it. We'll catch you next week, Steve.
Cheers, Hawk. Look forward to it, mate.